worship you. And not just in the music, because the music's great and we can sing and the tunes and the words are all amazing to focus our attention on you. But also, Lord, as we look into your word, it's not so much what we're getting, but what we give. And we want to give you all of us, all of ourselves, all that we are, all that we hope to be. We want to give it to you and let you lead us. We want to follow, not get in front or even side by side, but follow. Because you lead the way. You know where you're going and where you'd like us to be. And so we need to follow. We need to trust. Lord, I pray now as we look into your word that we are preparing our hearts for a message that you have prepared. And Lord, get me out of the way and let your words come through so that they touch each of us where we are and what we need. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You've been thinking this last few days and last week, I guess, whatever. It's like all these things pile in and just, you know how it is with me. Kathy does for sure. What is a disciple? You know, I started to bounce around in my somewhat empty head. And what is a disciple? You know, what does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus? And are we disciples? Well, I looked up the definition of a disciple. You know, really, really neat to be able to do that. You know, you don't have to go to a dictionary anymore. You just Google it. And disciple comes up, one who accepts and assists in spreading the doctrines of another. So a disciple can be a disciple of anything, not just Christianity, but you can be a disciple of, you know, Buddhism, of, I don't know, Crandon. I'm a disciple of Crandon. You know, promote the doctrines of Crandon or the school or whatever. But we're talking about Christianity and what does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus. So what I want to do is I want us to look at some of those things. John chapter 13, 1641 in your pew Bible. John chapter 13. And starting in verse 34, 13 and 34, Jesus speaking. He says, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Now that's pretty simple. You know, in actuality, that's pretty simple. To love one another. That's how the world, that's how everybody's going to know that we're a disciple of Jesus if we love one another. Well, there's more to it, of course. And I want us to go there too. Chapter 16 in Matthew, and this is 1496 in your pew Bibles. Matthew chapter 16. And so, starting in verse 24, it gets a little tougher. Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man who if he gains the whole world and yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul?" Well, that's, you know, that gets a little tougher now because love one another. I mean, we can all handle that, you know, but taking up your cross and following Him, you know, most of us, we don't get it when it says that. You know, we see the picture of this guy. I don't know how many saw it. I think it's Do You Believe or something. It was a movie. And here was this guy, and he's walking down the street with a cross. And the cross had wheels on it. And he's just tooling down the street with this cross and had wheels on it. And that's not what this is meaning. This means death. You know, when Jesus took up the cross to walk up the hill of Calvary, it wasn't to walk up the hill and drop the cross and walk off the hill. He was nailed on that cross. And so anyone who carried a cross, that was, you were carrying your implement of death. It's like if you were going to be executed with a gun or with a sword or whatever, you carry the sword for the guy that's going to do it. Because that's what you're going to die to. And so when Jesus says, you know, I want you to deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. Of course, he's speaking spiritually in this sense. But he's speaking very plainly to the people who are listening. I want you to deny yourself. What does that mean? Well, what do you want to do in your life? Now deny it. Now throw it off to the side. Give it up. It's a tough thing to do. It's not an easy road to walk. I remember when it first happened to me, and I wasn't ready for it either. I mean, I thought following Jesus was coming to church, doing my little duty, throw a few dollars in the plate, and I'm done. Yahoo! And go do my own thing now. But as I got more and more involved in being a disciple of Christ, I found that it wasn't quite that easy or simple. And all of a sudden, there was this, you know, this inside desire to do more. And all of a sudden, it was the Lord saying, are you really one of mine? I said, yeah, I'm all in. Whatever you want. And then the Lord said, well, I want you to go into full-time ministry. Now I was a machinist. I was a prototype machine. I just wasn't the guy in the shop doing 1,000 parts a day. I was able to do one-of-a-kind parts. I was in my dream job. Milling machines, lathe, go to whatever machine I needed to use and given a blueprint and following that and machining parts. And I was like, this is it. I've arrived. I'll do this the rest of my life. Retire and sit back and enjoy life. And then the Holy Spirit said, I want you to go into full-time ministry. And I didn't like that. I said, yeah, right. You're talking to the wrong person. And it kept bugging me. And I finally just said, whatever you want, I'll do it. Now, some of you know, I was in California at the time. And, you know, surfer dude. I never surfed really. Body surfed, yeah. But I, you know, living the life, been out in California, had a house, had, you know, and what a house. That would have been, to everybody, even my family, it was, man, Bill's doing good. Then I quit my job. And I went to work at a church. And I went from the machinist job, big salary, to $200 a month. Living in a garage behind some people. who graciously allowed us to stay there, and the shower was in the house. And there was a lot of changes at that time, difficult changes, changes that made me realize that you know what, I was clinging to stuff a lot more than I thought I was. My possessions had a hold on me. Now, does everybody need to go into full-time ministry? No, I'm not saying that. I don't want you to think that. But what I do want you to think is, as a disciple of Christ, we're to just lay our lives open and say, Lord, whatever you want. Now, He may want you to go to college. He may want you to become a lawyer or a judge. He may want you to be a factory worker. He may want you to be somewhere else. Because all of us are in different circles of life. And we're going to get to it in a little bit, what a disciple really does. But I want you also to know that there are false disciples. And I want you to turn back to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, and starting in verse 21. And notice what Jesus says here. He says in verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? And then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Wow. I mean, now this is a huge shock. Because here's some guys that are doing things, and it says, in Jesus' name. In the name of God, in the name of the Father. They're going out, they're doing things, they're accomplishing, they're performing miracles, prophesying, doing all kinds of things in the name of Jesus. What's the difference between a disciple of Christ and a false disciple? Franz shared a few weeks ago about Peter's encounter with Jesus. Remember when he failed so miserably, Jesus was taken in to be whipped and beaten and questioned and everything. And somebody said, hey, you're one of those guys. I saw you. And Peter, no. And three times Peter did that. And then the rooster crows. And then Peter realizes what he did. Jesus makes eye contact and Peter just falls apart. And now I want you to go to John 16:54 in a few Bibles. John chapter 21. And let's look at the account between John and Jesus. Chapter 21 and verses 15 through 22. And I'm not going to read it word for word. We're going to paraphrase quite a bit, but you can read it. First, it says that they were eating this fish. Remember, the boat was out in the water, and Jesus told them, throw the net on the other side. They got all the fish. Peter realizes who it is. He jumps in the water, swims to shore. They just got done eating the fish, and then he calls Simon, or Peter, aside a little bit. You know, he's right there, and he says, do you love me more than these? More than the fish, more than these guys, more than all this, everything. Do you love me more than that? And Peter says, yeah, I I love you. And he asked him three times the same thing. Do you love me? Do you love me? And it says that Peter was a little upset at the last time that Jesus asked. He says, come on, you know that I love you. And then it gets down to verse 22. And he says, if I want him to remain alive until I return, because, Peter looks at John and he says, what about him? He was your favorite. What about him? And Jesus says, if I want him to live until I return, what's that to you? And he says, you must follow me. There's the point between the false and the true. Because the true believer loves Christ, loves Jesus, loves God. The false disciple, when they do all that stuff in the name of Jesus, they're doing it for the glory. You know, look what I did in Jesus' name. But man, aren't I good? You know, they preach to the crowd. They shower. You know, like the Pharisees. They were out there and they were sharing the word of God. They were sharing out of the Torah and the law and all that. But they were looking for the accolades. They wore the long coats with the tassels and the look at me, how great I am. And they were all about themselves, really. Not really doing it because of the love of Christ. Doing it for their own benefit. And so when Jesus said to Peter 3 times, do you love me? He's establishing what a real disciple is. Do you love Jesus? Do you really love him and want to do what he wants you to do? Peter, he was interested in John, interested in all the other things. But Jesus said, it doesn't matter what happens to these people. It doesn't matter what happens to John. They have to leave early. just to let you know. It doesn't matter what happens to John. It doesn't matter what happens to all these things. It doesn't matter what happens to them as they have to go. What matters is you and me. Jesus is saying, you just look at me. Follow me. Did Jesus want to hear Peter just grovel and just be humbled and humiliated? No. It's the key to discipleship. Devotion to Jesus Christ, which is loving one another, love for people, love for Christ. A false disciple wants the recognition, the fame, and to be known. Disciples follow because of the love of Jesus. We're devoted to Him because He loves us. It doesn't matter about fame and glory. You know, there's a lot of places that preachers can go and get fame and glory. But most of us feel like, you know, it doesn't matter what happens to us in this life. We just want to promote Jesus. We just want to see the gospel message get out there. So, you know, I saw on the news... There is a soldier in this neighborhood, and he wanted to paint his house. And so he started to paint his house, and all of a sudden, he gets called to duty. He gets called to a tour. And as he's leaving, the neighborhood comes out and jumps in and finishes painting his house. You know, that's what it's all about. It's not about training. It's not about, oh, I don't really know what to do. I told that to the Lord, and He didn't care. You know, because I said, you know, I'm not trained. I'm a machinist. I don't even talk well in front of people. I'm not the guy that you want in front of people. And God said, are you in or are you not in? And I said, well, yeah, I'm in. Whatever you want me to do. He said, all right, then just do it. And here I am. Now, people ask me, the other day somebody asked me at the funeral, well, did you get your training before you came to the church? And I said, well, sort of. Not the book training, because once I came to Praise Chapel, then I went online and did an online course. I've never been ordained. I tried, you know, it was kind of funny because, and I'll tell you that story, we've got time. You know, they said, oh, you should be ordained, you should be ordained. And I said, all right. So I filled out all the things, I did all the, whatever, you know, filled all the papers out, answered all the questions, did like a dissertation, and had it all written out and everything. And I called the denomination, you know, part of the four C's, and I said, you know, hey, I'm ready. And they said, oh, well, yeah, that day isn't going to work for us. So I said, okay, I picked another date, sent it back to them, my letter, and said, all right, ready, let's do it. You know, we would love to, but that date is bad for us too. Okay, what date do you want? Well, let us get back to you. Okay. So I said, you know what? I called him back. I said, you know what? Keep it. Because the Lord called me, and I don't need somebody to tell me that the Lord called me.
And you're ordained by God.
Ordained by God. Exactly. You know, it's one of those things that you know what? What am I interested in? Am I interested in following the Lord, or am I interested in the paperwork? The paperwork doesn't do a thing for us. You know, and we can question or we can put up roadblocks all we want before God. We can say, well, I don't have the papers. I don't have the study. I have a hard time memorizing Scripture. You know what? So do I. But God takes care of it. And all of a sudden, you know, I know a lot of Bible verses and everything else. I want to, before we run out of time, let's go to another Scripture. Last Scripture is Matthew chapter 28. And 1521 in your pew Bibles, 1521. Matthew 28. Starting in verse 18. Jesus said to them, and he's talking to his disciples and essentially talking to us as his disciples, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, to Jesus. It's not given to us. First of all, I want you to let you know. It's not given to you. It's given to Jesus and then through us. Therefore, verse 19, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. So what Jesus is saying here is he's saying all authority has been given to me on heaven and earth. I'm the one that you need to carry this through. And I'm with you always through even the end of the age. So I'm with you and I have all the authority, but therefore go. Well, but I didn't go to seminary. Go. Make disciples of all nations. Now that's as you're going. You know, you hear many times people who have preached on this have said, therefore go. It's as you're going. Wherever you go, however you go, whatever you do, whatever you're doing, you're making disciples. Now how are you making disciples? Invite people to church. Love them. Do things for them. Check on them. Write to them. You know, we wrote letters to our grandkids, and they loved it. They right away, they said, we got the letters. It's the old-fashioned way. We said, yeah, it is. But isn't it neat to write a letter? To send a card? To call? To check? To pray for? To give them a pie or a cake or invite them over for dinner. It's simple things we can do, and that's being a disciple and making disciples. It's easy things to do. Little children need to know they're okay. Not flattery, not, you know, oh, you're so good, you're beautiful, all that kind of thing. Not those kinds of things. Genuine. Do you know how long we wait for a parent or someone that we respect to say, I'm proud of you? Do you ever have that done to you? Do you ever do that with your children? You say, son, daughter, I just want you to know I'm so proud of you. I mean, can you imagine what that does for them? We like to complain mostly. But you know compliments to people, they love it. If you go to a restaurant and somebody waits on you and you compliment them, it stops them. I mean, we've done that many times and they'll stop and talk with you. And sometimes you can even, we heard this at a Gideon meeting one time. This lady said, you know, they were sitting down ready for their meal. The waitress came over and they said to the waitress, oh, you know, we're so glad that, you know, and you look really nice today and whatever, whatever. And then she came back and had their meal and they said, you know, we're going to pray for our meal. Is there something we can pray for you about? Bam! Do you know she just stopped? Well, yeah, and she told them things that she needed prayer for with tears in her eyes because nobody ever asked that before. Most of the time they're saying, you know, my eggs are not done quite right. The pancake is, you know, raw in the middle. Can you do something about that? You know, can I have some water? You know, I'm running out. A little more coffee, please. We're all about that. But we're not about them. And that's what a disciple is. Love them. Love one another. Love those who are hard to love. That's a disciple. You don't have to be a preacher. But you do have to let yourself open up and let God come through you. I want us to close in prayer. And then we're going to sing our last song. Let's just bow our heads. Father, we come here to you Sunday after Sunday many times, and yet, Lord, many of us have yet to open up our entire life and let you infiltrate it. We hide certain things. We don't want you in certain areas. Lord, I pray that you would infiltrate every area, that you would move through our entire life. And Lord, that we would demonstrate love to others, that we be concerned for others. Lord, I pray that as we go through this life, that we are truly your disciples, and that there be no mistake, no questions. If somebody asked, who are they? They'd know right away, well, he's a disciple, she's a disciple of Christ. Lord, I pray that we would stand for you and follow. Lord, thank you so much for this time, and we ask now that you would bless as we sing this last song together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last song, let's all stand, and it's up on the screen. It's In My Heart Rings a Melody.